Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Grove, and we're passing out flyers. And it's very scary and very honoring to be with you guys this morning. This is probably my eighth DTC, HSLT, whatever. I've been to many, which I'll get more into. I don't have a family of my own. I'm not married yet. Maybe. Hey. Was that me or you? That was you.
I'll check on it in a bit.
Okay. I think it just turned off. So, I don't have a family yet. I will someday. That's my fiance. His name is Blaze, and he's amazing, which that's a God story in itself, I think. Hey. Yes. Thank you. That's a cool God story if you want to hear how awesome God is. Ask me later. So I would love to pray to start, and then I'll kind of give you a brief testimony of my life, and then I'll jump into our topic. How's that sound? Yeah? Okay. So, dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the mountains. Thank you for your beauty, for your creation. God, I thank you that we can see your glory, Lord. We can see your beauty, your creativity all around us. God, I thank you for every single one of these girls. I thank you for the unique way that you have created every single one of them, Lord. I thank you for the glorious plan that you have for their lives, Lord. And I just pray that they can hear your voice this morning, Lord, and all day today, Lord. I just pray that you'll quiet our hearts of any distractions, Lord, of any worries, Lord. And I just pray that we can just see who we are in you, Lord. And I just pray that you'll speak to every single one of our hearts in ways that only you can, Lord. And I just pray that you'll bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I grew up in a Great Commission family, and I tried to find a picture of my family when I was little, but I didn't. But there's me, and that's pretty fun. So I got saved probably this age, when I was about 7. My mom sat down with me, and she talked through the fact I'm a sinner, and the fact that that deserves me to die, and the fact that because he loved me so much, Jesus decided to pay that penalty in my place. So December 16th, I think it was, since that day when I was 7 years old, I've known for sure 100% when I die, I will go to heaven. Praise God. What an amazing confidence that we can say, doesn't matter what happens to me, I know I'm going to go to heaven. There's my family nowadays. We're very large. And by God's grace, all kind of in between Loveland, Greeley, and Fort Collins, and all by God's grace still walking with the Lord, which is super sweet. You'll see my blonde brother who doesn't look anything like me come back after the boys are here. And my dad. And my nephew, Keone, who's very tall. So that's my family now. By God's grace, grew up going to church, going to conferences, doing kind of the Jesus thing, praying with my family, doing devotionals. However, me in my day-to-day life, I didn't quite understand how Christ's perfect life, death, resurrection affected me. So especially going into my middle school years, I tried to find my identity and my value in the world around me. So I knew I was going to heaven since I was 7, but my day-to-day life, I didn't quite see how that affected me. I was homeschooled through 2nd grade, and 3rd grade through 8th grade, I went to a small charter school down in Parker, Colorado. And so my middle school years, it was just a daily, if not hourly, fluctuation of emotions for me. So if I felt pretty, if boys noticed me, if they flirted with me, then life was great. But the next hour, if they were giving attention to another girl, I felt just ugly, worthless, useless. If I was great at sports, if I won those volleyball games, then life was great. If I lost or I cost my team the point, ugh, I hate myself and I'm a horrible person and whatever. And same thing, academic, whatever is in this world horizontally is kind of how I tried to fill myself. And my emotions from middle school is just, I remember dry, empty, and keep on, dry is kind of going to be our theme of one of our emotions, but just a really empty fluctuation of life and just very not content. And then entering my freshman year of high school, I went to this thing called DTC, or HSLT back in the day, and that rocked my world. So I remember the first night they separated the girls and boys, and we got with a gal named Joy Whitney, who was my sister's friend, And she talked to us about modesty, which I was like, what? Like this crazy, how my clothes affect boys and every, like, what? And she talked about guarding my heart, like things I never, once again, I don't even know. I was in a Christian family, but never thought about guarding my heart and what that means and all of these crazy things. And then the entire week was just like that. They talked about not just the kind of Christian life of church on Sundays and all that, but they talked about this relationship, this living, active relationship with Christ. And I remember Rory Whitney was speaking one night, and he said, in life, there's three chairs. And one chair is where you're at if you don't know Christ. So you're not saved. You don't have a relationship with the Lord. The next chair is where, yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to heaven. But you're kind of in between two worlds. So maybe Sunday morning, you're in the Christian world. But maybe Wednesday night, your heart thoughts is somewhere else. You're kind of in between two different worlds. And then the third chair was full commitment. And it's, you are completely the Lord's. You're living for him. That's your life. Every choice that you make, every way that you spend your time, everything is for Christ. And I remember sitting there and I was like, oh my word, I'm in the second chair. Like, that's not where I want to be. And that whole week, God just used the speakers and the time and quiet times in the morning, the devotional time, to really just woo my heart. And it's at that conference. So every time I share my testimony, I always say, so I got saved when I was 7, but I fell in love with God when I was 13. Because that's the time I remember I started just talking to Jesus, not just, you know, praying like I do at church, but just talking to him like I would my best friend. And I had a crush on a boy at HSLT, and I just talked to God about that. Like, what? You can just talk to God? Like, it was crazy. And then that's when I started. I got home, and I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the Bible. And I started reading the Bible every single day. And to this day, by God's grace, I've kept that up. Which means, ladies, 16 years from now, you could be doing the same thing that you choose to start Tuesday morning. The choices that we make right here and the way that God's speaking to our heart in this intimate way that only you know how, that can shape the rest of your life from here on out. And that HSLT, I mean, it's part of my testimony. The things that God spoke to me and the ways that I, the clothes choices and life choices that I kind of got rid of, my music choices, everything that I kind of let go, and then praying, reading God's word, memorizing his verses. I started doing that after HSLT. Those choices then can shape for the rest of your life. And Lord willing, for the rest of my life, he'll keep doing that. So I say that because this is such a sacred, beautiful time. And it's so short. And you're going to go back to the real world. And it's going to be all the same. Nothing's changed. But you have changed. So don't take for granted exactly how God's speaking to your heart and the exact terrifying ways he kind of wants you to step outside of your comfort zone in order to know him more. It's so worth it. So worth it. So today we're talking about doing good. But I live my life by God's promises. So the Bible's filled with, hey, God's faithful. God's going to do this and this and this. So when we're looking at the kind of key verse for today, keep in mind, we obey and God is so faithful to satisfy and bring life to us as we walk in obedience with him. So look at, oh, ha, so that's me and HSL tease. Back in the day, aw. Okay, so let's look at Isaiah 58, 10 through 11. It says, if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And I love, love, love this verse. It's one of my favorites. So when we take it apart, God promises that he will satisfy your needs, strengthen your frame, and he promises that you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never cease, never fail. So I don't know about you guys, if you've ever felt dry, but I know I have. So thinking back, okay, my eighth grade year, man, I was dry. I would see my friends and their families were rich, so they could afford the nice, like, whatever certain brand clothes, and they had the nice makeup. And there's me and my hand-me-downs for my sisters. I just felt super ugly, super unchosen, super unnoticed. I felt very, very dry. And I remember in high school, when I'd given my life to the Lord, and I had some radical habits and commitments I made with Christ when I was in high school, and then my girlfriends in the youth group would make fun of me, and they'd call me whatever, Bible name, things, whatever, and they were super, super mean, and they'd gossip about me. We'd be like at HSLT, and just be like talking trash inches away from me. I felt very, very alone, very, very unloved, very, very dry. I remember post-college, all my friends, I'm 29, we're after college, 22, everyone gets married, like everyone, right? So all of my friends, my high school, college, they all get married, because that's what you do when you're 22 years old. And then there's Elizabeth, so my friends are like choosing their wedding dresses, and I was choosing what book to read. Like, you know, I've had a very, very dry feeling, dry emotion, just very, I don't know, cracked, empty, whatever adjective you want to have. And okay, so here's the well-watered garden. And yet, here's how we feel a lot of time. Maybe it's just me, but I would venture to say you've probably experienced your own dry seasons. Maybe you're in one right now. Maybe you feel like that's your life. But there's a lot of times where, gosh, my soul, that's it. It's dry, it's cracked. There's no life. There's no springs of living water that God promises me. So the question is not how to avoid them, because they're going to come, because we live in a broken world and we're in life, but what do we do in the midst of them? So the world around us and what we can think a lot of times, well, maybe if I take this like perfect selfie, right? Like I just get the right angle and my hair's great and I got the jewelry, maybe I show a little more skin. And if I get that one guy, because we don't care about all the likes, right? It's not the number. It's if that one guy puts his little like on Instagram, then all right, then I'm good for today. But what about tomorrow when I wake up and I feel gross? Or maybe if I like flirt a little more on Snapchat, right? Maybe if I do whatever. That's what the world says. That's what our friends say. That's what where my heart's been. Is that really going to satisfy us? Is that really going to cure those cracked and dry edges? I'm sure your family and your friends and the people around you and the world around you, we've talked about it, will tell you exactly how you can fill that dry place. But there's only one truth that we have, ladies, and that is God's word. So when I'm looking at how to cure that, there's only one place that I can look, and there's only one truth that I can trust, and that's God. So look at what God says. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Whew, who here wants rest for their souls? Yes, please, right? Oh my word. Yes, I want my soul to rest. And Jesus says, hey, you will find it. Once again, he's faithful to his promises. Not once has he failed. And he promises we'll find rest for our souls. And how? What's his yoke that's easy and light? I think of the greatest two commandments. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then we take it a step further. Who is our neighbor? Well, Jesus gives a parable of the Good Samaritan that says our neighbor is the one who's overlooked, who's outcast, who's hurting and everyone's ignoring them. That's our neighbor. As we take on this easy burden of loving God and loving others, he promises rest for our souls. How beautiful. Let's look at Isaiah 58 again. So the promise is that we will be, we'll be satisfied, but it will be like a well-watered garden, right? That's God's promise. Yes? I'm a teacher, so I'm ready for like yes, no, yes, okay. And how? By taking more selfies, binge watching that new season on Netflix. What's going to satisfy us? God's word says, spending yourself on behalf of the hungry, I put needy, and satisfying the needs of the oppressed. We're not going to find it horizontally. We're not going to find it in this world. We find it first in Christ. And then he promises, as we spend ourselves on behalf of the hungry, needy, and we satisfy the needs of the oppressed. So essentially, emptying yourself, giving all of yourself for the benefit of those around you. So translated, doing good. Not doing well. Doing well is important, but doing good, bringing good to the world around you. Let's look at a different promise. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they will soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they will soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun." "Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes." Now, like Isaiah 58 says something similar, that you'll shine just like the noonday sun. So he says in Psalm 37, don't worry about those girls who seem to get everything they want. Don't worry about those girls whose life, everything's fine, and they get everything that you want, maybe. He says, trust him, do good, delight in him, he'll give you your heart's desires, because he knows your heart better than even you do. And then he says, so it's trust in him, wait patiently for him to act. And I love that, because God is faithful to act in our lives. He knows you. It says in Psalm 139, he knows when you sit, when you rise. He knows your thoughts from afar. He knows a word on your mouth before it's even on your tongue. He knows everything about you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made by this Creator. And he sees you, and he knows you, and he loves you, and he is worth our trust. So, 4 years ago, I decided to take God at his word. So I was 25, 26, whatever. And I was teaching. I taught Spanish at a high school. And my life was just very dry. So I would have kind of the same routine every day. I'd wake up at 4:30, go to the gym, come back and shower, go to school, teach all day, come home, eat fast, change fast, go to play practice. I was a director for musicals and stuff. And then I'd rush home, put on my workout clothes for the next day, and go to sleep. And that's literally all I did with my life. And so my like life quote is from Lord of the Rings, The Twin Towers. So your homework is to watch that if you haven't. All three of them, though. So my life quote is from Eowyn, and she says she doesn't fear death or pain. What she does fear is a cage, which essentially is anything that hinders her from doing this amazing work on Earth. And then she'll be too old and useless, essentially, to do something awesome. So that's been like my life thing. Like, yeah, I want to do something for eternity, right? I want to do something for God and change this world and do all this awesome stuff. And I was teaching and going to the gym. Like, really? And so I was like, you know what? God promises, right? Every time God promises, that means he's going to be faithful. And Isaiah 58 says, as I spend myself on others and satisfy the needs of others, God is going to satisfy me. And he brought to mind Philippians 2, which is very convicting. Oh, I forgot about that verse. I'm sorry, ladies. It's a good one, too. Oh, my word. So I don't have it. That's why. We'll get to the next one. And so he brought to mind Philippians 2, which essentially just says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. So look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Oh, is it on your handout? Okay, sorry, did I say that super fast? Value others, do nothing out of selfish ambition, but put them first, essentially. Does that help with the blanks? Okay. So God brought to mind that. I said, I am very selfish, and I always put my own needs first. So let's obey Philippians 2. Let's obey Isaiah 58 and see what God does. So I started serving. So at school, instead of using my plans to do what I want, which is getting ahead, because I'm very much a planner, where I'd like grade papers and get all done, or sneak off and get a Starbucks, I was like, you know what? I'm going to stay at school. I'm going to invest into my students and hang out with them. So I'd sit, my students would visit me all the time. I had like a candy stash in my drawer. So they'd come and we talk. I would share the gospel with them. We talk about life. We talk about whatever. And to this day, I still mentor some of those same kids. And I'm still friends. I just went to weddings with some of my former students. Still friends with those ladies, those students. to this day, which is a pretty sweet gift from the Lord. And then weekends, instead of just, I don't know, watching Netflix, hanging out with friends, I don't know what I did, I was like, you know what? I'll keep serving. So then I would go hang out with, I have 10 nephews and nieces, so I'd go hang out with them, give my sisters a break, just kind of have free babysitting so they could go do groceries, go on a date, whatever. And I just started serving. And guess what happened to my soul? God started refreshing it. God started filling it. All of those dry cracks started to be filled a little bit. And to this day, there's so many just precious snapshots that God gave me of moments with my nephews and nieces or moments with my students and just sweet, sweet gifts from the Lord as he just used me as his vessel. And I got to speak truth. I got to share the gospel in a public school. Like what? I just got to share truth with my students and share moments with my students and influence their lives and then have sweet, sweet moments with my nephews and nieces and become the favorite aunt and just have sweet, you know, dates with my nephews and nieces and hang out with them. And those are just treasures that God honestly filled and overflowed my heart with. But God was not finished yet. And so now I need to make sure I'm following. Yes, we're good. So then in 2015, God sent me over to Honduras for two months, which I know some of you have been there, which is awesome. So I went over there for 2 months and got to pray, and God led for me to go for actually 3 years. And I just got back. So if my English is off, that's why. But I went down for 3 years and I served in a literal sun-scorched land. All those verses are true if you're by the equator. Just like Isaiah 58 says, I was serving in a sun-scorched land. And God was so faithful. He was so, so faithful. So I'm getting there. Okay. I'm not good with PowerPoints, but we're getting there. So I left my job, right? No paycheck. I'm a volunteer. Don't do this, ladies. I'm not recommending it. Ditched my job, and God provided my daily bread for 3 consecutive years. And then I would spend my time, and then God would satisfy me in ways only he can, because he knows how unique you are. He knows what makes your heart happy, and he would do that for me. In the midst of going to give my life, I found that God was giving me his life, which he promises in Matthew 16:24-25. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." And this is completely opposite of what everything in your inside of you and everything in our culture tells you, right? They say, oh no, do what makes you happy. Do what's good for you. You need to take care of yourself. You need self-care. Jesus says, if you want your life, give it away. As you are emptying yourself, as you're giving yourself to others, that's where you're going to find true life. And for me personally, being abroad, that meant I was losing my family. I was super, super, super close to my family, and I left them all. I missed their birthdays. I missed celebrations. I missed Thanksgiving, everything. Gone. And yet, God allowed me to be family, to be a little aunt of kids who don't have any family, of orphans that I got to be an aunt of for 3 years. As I spent my money, God provided. As I spent my homesickness, I got rid of my family, God gave me a family. I left health, safety, all of that, and God provided beautiful places for me to have my prayer walks. He provided awesome people who would take care of me when I was sick. He provided every single need. Even, so if you've been to Honduras, you understand. Even like just being a girl, we liked, right? Like I like to wear jewelry and get all cute. We like that as females. However, down there, you like don't let the image deceive you. So you get like all pretty, right, in the morning. And then you step outside and you just profusely sweat. So like, I just smell disgust, like, oh my gosh, I can make myself gag. Like, it's so gross. Like, I'm just gross and I'm sweating and like my clothes are like drenched. You're just disgusting. And then you hug one of the orphans and they don't care. And then there's women I would like give clothes or food or whatever to and just minister to. They didn't care. And my students, they didn't care. it's so crazy of like even my vanity and pride of like, I can smell good sometimes, guys. Like, they don't care. It's like God provides even our most, I don't know, my most vain, selfish desires of just being normal. And he's like, no, I got you covered. And he like just takes care of us in ways that only he can. I love, there's another just beautiful promise. Isaiah 43, verse 16 verse 16 and then 18 through 19. It says, this is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And I love and I've claimed this promise for so long because it's the same God who split the Red Sea, the same God who had Israelites walk around a wall and it just collapsed, the same God who fed his people for 40 years is the same God who promises, hey, I know it's been dry. I know you've been in a desert and I'm promising to bring streams into that desert. And even thinking back, my first 1-2 years in Honduras were really, really hard for many, many reasons. And God used them all. And this was one of the promises I claimed. And there's even another, if you read Psalm 13, the saddest lament, it's just like, God, have you forgotten me? Restore back the joy to my eyes. You've left me. You've abandoned me. And then at the end it says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. And my first 2 years were kind of like that. You can be serving, you can be giving everything, but there's still those dry cracks and those places that are really, really hard. And I love verses like this that say, yeah, God will bring in streams. And the more we get closer to the cross and realize what he did for us and his love for us, the more we start finding that healing and we start realizing how loved we are and how precious and treasured and valued we are from the infinite God of the universe. And even more amazing than that, God doesn't just promise, oh, as you satisfy people, as you're doing this, I'm going to satisfy you. He says, hey, as a woman, I have awesome, unique ways that you function, you tick, and those are the ways that God has equipped us to bring good and to change this world. Looking at Proverbs, we've seen this verse a lot. Proverbs 31, he says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, wow, I want that to be said of us. Like so-and-so. A daughter of noble character, a sister of noble character, she is worth far more than rubies. A friend of noble character, who can find? Wow. Every single girl at GTC, my prayer is that that is what God says, all of us, what people say about all of us. Yeah, she's worth far more than rubies. She is a woman of noble character. Like, wow, right? And God created you as a woman with your personality, with your looks, with your abilities, with your weaknesses, and every single intentional, fearfully and wonderfully made way so that you can uniquely bring good in a way no one else can and only you can into this world. So my very, very, very two complicated points from this verse. So it says she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. So point number one, do not bring harm. Point number two, do bring good. Second, so do not bring harm to those around you. Do bring good to the world around you. So looking at the first one, do not bring harm. You do not bring harm in your words, thoughts, or actions. So I'm going to have a more obscure verse. Do you guys know the story of Samson, possibly? Guy with long hair, super strong. Delilah deceived him. That's another story. I want to look at his first kind of wife, almost wife. So look at Judges chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. And I'm actually going to skip a big chunk. You can go back in Judges if you want to read the whole story. On the fourth day, so this is his wedding. So they do like a week-long celebration before they got married. So on the fourth day, the people said to Samson's wife, coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us. So Samson gave them this impossible riddle. And they're like, well, we don't want to look bad. So they go to the wife, right? Like, have your husband tell you. So Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, "You hate me. You don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answers." Then Samson's like, "I haven't even explained it to my mother or father," he replied. "So why should I explain it to you?" She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. So on the seventh day, he finally told her because she continued to press him. And it's kind of humorous, kind of sad, because the truth is we're women and we're not dumb. We know how to get what we want, right? Ask any girl, she can tell you how to get out of a ticket. I can't because I always fail, but most girls are like, "Oh yeah, I just cried and they didn't give me anything." And I'm like, "I wish I could cry. That's great." I could though. So I worked 4 years in a coffee shop in, well, I learned 6 years, but my 4 years in college, I could tell you exactly what to wear, what to say, what to do in order to get the best tip. Like, it's like science. Or like, so leaving Honduras, I always get checked. They frisk my hair. They take like pictures of my passport. They get their boss. I can like never leave the country, which is ironic. Like, I'm American, guys. Like, just let me go home. But they like, I don't know. I look really suspicious apparently. So they're always like, "Oh no." And I have to get my boss and looking at my residence card and going in their computer and "Oh no." And they take literally a photocopy of my passport. Like, I'm a drug lord. I don't know. I don't know what they're looking for. Ironically though, last Christmas, I wore a dress. Nothing else changed. Just instead of this, I was in a dress. And it was like, "Oh yeah, come on through, princess." Like, "Yeah, yeah, have a good time. Come back and visit." I'm the same person. My personality is the same. I did nothing different, but I was in a dress. Right? We're women. We know how to get what we want. We know what to say. We know how to manipulate. My mom's always like, "Oh yeah, just wink at them and it's fine." Right? Like, it's kind of a joke, but kind of also true. Like, you get free stuff, or you know what to do. You know how to kind of sugarcoat stuff or smile really big, and it's great. It's a power that God gave to us, but God's not going to be deceived. We can use that power to glorify God, or we can use it for our own selfish personal gain, bringing harm to people around us, which is why God is so strong when he's speaking through Paul in Titus 2. He says, "I also want the women to dress modestly with decency and propriety." So propriety is like living in a respectful way, right? Not being foolish, not being crazy. With decency and propriety, adorning themselves, not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. So we've talked about beauty a ton, right? They say your world shouldn't be that, but it should be the inner beauty that's precious to God. What honors our Lord and Savior? By making ourselves attractive with good deeds, by cultivating a heart that trusts him and having that inner spirit that is precious in the sight of our Savior. Right? We're smart. We can use our power to glorify and honor God by bringing good to this world and having that be the beauty and that be the reputation that you're known for. Or you guys are beautiful. Yeah, you can use it to get what you want. But God's not going to deceive. He won't be mocked. We reap what we sow. And he's called us to use our beauty in order to bring good into the world and to glorify his name so that people see our beautiful Savior who is worthy of all the praise. So as women, choose to fight that urge to use your beauty in a selfish way and to get what you want. And instead, use the woman that you are to glorify God and bring good to the world around you, which is the second point. Do bring good. Bring good to the people and the world around you. So instead, intentionally and actively bring good, which many times is at the expense of yourself. You're going to be sacrificing your own comfort, your own time, your own desires, and your own rights. There's always that emptying of yourself. Like Jesus said, right? Whoever wants to keep his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will gain life. It's not like, "Oh, you want life? Take it." It says, "You want life? Give up yours. And then you will find it." As we bring good to other people, to people around us, it will always come, maybe at your inconvenience, maybe at your own pain, at your own sacrifice. I think of the lady that Jenny was talking about, who went every Tuesday and watched her kids. What a beautiful gift. What a beautiful example of bringing good. What an expense at herself. I was thinking in my own heart, I'm like, oh man, I'm so selfish. Like, if that were my sisters, like my sisters, not even like a friend, like, oh, every Tuesday and like the kids to the park, oh man, that's tough. You're going to have to say no to what you want, to what I'm probably more selfish than most of you. Like, there's a lot of stuff that my flesh and my desires want. And you're going to have to say no to that. You're going to have to negate yourself in order to say yes to someone else. It starts really with a desire to do good. You can, you can talk about good things. We look at Mother Teresa, we look at missionaries, whoever, and we're like, yeah, that's a really good person. Elizabeth Elliot is awesome. Or Amy Carmichael, whoever. Like, they're great people. But then I go back to my house, and they just came out with a new series, or they just did this, right? And man, I just want to do that. Or man, the gym has this new whatever, right? I really want to do that. It's going to take an intentional fight, which is why God made you guys so fierce. It's going to take an intentional fight to say no to yourself and to say yes to laying down your life and serving those around you. So step one, want to do it. Step two is honestly abide in the Lord. He's going to give you the practicals. Maybe for you, and sorry, I'm all over with my notes. We're getting there. Maybe for you, it means that you're going to take out the trash and do dishes at your house. Maybe for you, it means you're going to volunteer at a homeless shelter or a nursing home. There's different ways. Once again, God's equipped you guys so differently. I love kids. Other people are like, no, 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 but maybe I'll take care of my friend's dog. And I'm like, oh, there's a lot of fur, but I'll take care of their children. Right? God equipped us super, super differently and for a reason. Because what I'm going to do is going to be super different from what you're going to do. But ultimately, as you are abiding in Christ, he says, John 15, I think someone shared that verse in a different talk. So look back on a different handout. But he says, remain in me, I'll remain in you. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. But with him, we're going to bear a ton of fruit. And so it takes, I want to do good. And then just walking with the Lord, walking with Christ, letting the Spirit lead you. And then knowing full well, counting the cost before you go, it will mean you're saying no to yourself and what you want to do. I love, so Proverbs 31, if you take it apart, it goes through a lot of good that this lady is doing. Which once again, it's not the level that we need to be at, but it's just a cool picture of someone doing good. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She gets up when it's still night, which is wild. I love to sleep. She gets up when it's still dark. She provides food for her families and portions for her female servants. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She's not lazy. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy, which is a rough, if you guys, like, the more you help people, they're, humans are needy. But she opens her arms. She's fully open to the needs, to the messiness of people around her, because she's loving her neighbor as herself. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Sorry, I lost my place in my notes, so I'm going off on my PowerPoint now. So whatever that looks like for you, if you're, you know, serving in your house and you're serving your parents and you're serving your siblings and you're doing kind of those chores that no one likes to do, or maybe you're serving your friends or you're serving your community, whatever it looks like, as long as it's God-led and Spirit-led, it's going to be working for him. Colossians 3:23, right? Whatever you do, we're doing it for him, not for ourselves, because our reward is with Christ. And as you get in the habit, the easier it's going to be to say no to yourself, yes to others. And before you know it, you will realize that your life has become an abundant one. That by dying to self and losing your life, you have found true life. Because God's faithful to his promises. As I spend myself on behalf of others, as I satisfy the desires of others, I'll be like this well-watered garden. I think of peonies. Gorgeous, right? Yes, I would like to be that. No more desert for my soul. Let's be a garden of peonies. Like, my heart and soul would love that, right? Can you just imagine that in your soul? That rest and that life, that spring of living water, whew, right in our heart. And what would my life look like? And my countenance and my conversations look like if that was going on in my soul and my heart? Wow. And pretty soon, I think your last blank was, sorry, I lost my notes. Something like pretty soon, you will have a breathtaking legacy. And haha, I found it. Okay. And at the end of your life, you'll have a breathtaking legacy where countless lives are overwhelmed by all of the good that you have done, investing in what is eternal. And I think of my life quote. So sorry. So is it breathtaking legacy? Countless lives are overwhelmed by the good you have done, investing in what is eternal. Because what is eternal? The people around us. The people who need to hear who Christ is, and you have the message of life for them. And the people who are also broken, who are also dry, who also have cracked hearts and are waiting for someone to give them that eternal hope. And that can be you, bringing good, bringing life, spending yourself on their behalf, which means you're dying to yourself, but then you find true abundant life. I even think in Honduras, so there's so much, to be very blunt, there was times I was like, these people are like leeches. Like I give them and then they just want more, and then I give them this and they just want more. Like there's just a lot of needs. I was like, oh my gosh, it's like leeches. Like I just want my Starbucks and my fall and my family. Like, oh, I'm like, oh yeah, I like the fall and Starbucks. And then the more I serve them, the more I was like, you know what? Elizabeth Elliot has a quote, just do the next right thing. Just walk in obedience, do the next good thing, the next right thing, what God's called you to. So as I was like, okay, God has me here. Here's God's verses. Here's God's commands. I'm just going to obey him and trust him with the results. And pretty soon, the people I was ministering to started ministering back to me. My students, every time they prayed, would start, God, thank you for another day of life that you have gifted us with. I was like, well, of course I'm going to wake up. Why? Of course we're here. Like, it's not like, oh, yes, I'm glad you know. None of you passed away last night. Like, we're all still here. Like, shouldn't that be expected? But it's just like, no, like every day of life is a gift. And by God's grace, each of us did open our eyes today. What a gift. And then be like, oh, every food, thank you for your provision. I'm like, well, I'm hungry. Like, I gotta eat. Like, I would be super, I don't know, hangry, if I didn't have food. And yet they say, oh, wow, whatever the tiny cracker, whatever that they had for that time of that day, they were like, man, God, thank you for your provision. Thank you for providing this. Even when they would give stuff, thank you for giving me enough to be able to share and to be able to give to other people. It's just like, wow. Eating once a day and being overwhelmingly thankful for that. I have a lot to learn. And I learned a lot from them. Their ability to just drop what they were doing, serve other people, to keep on just giving and sharing and being generous with what God had given them that day, literally. And just the generosity and the beautiful hearts around me. So the cool thing is, God, you know, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. However, so it's us and God, right? Vertically, that's where identity, confidence, everything comes from. But horizontally, as we are serving, as we are sharing, as we are giving our lives to other people, it's going to start to be them showing us and teaching us by whatever way God allows it. To know Christ more, to follow Christ more, and become more like Christ. So that's a neat thing. So I want to leave you guys with three questions. Nope. But you can look at the pretty peony picture while I ask him. So, one, what are specific ways that I can stop doing harm? So what that means is, once again, we each know ourselves. It's between us and the Lord. Is there a way you're manipulating your intelligence, personality, abilities, looks, whatever, that you're manipulating for a selfish gain to get what you want? What's maybe something selfish, maybe older, I can say this because I was the youngest, older siblings, you guys are so good at this. Like, hey, oh, your cookie looks so much better than mine. I'm so glad I have mine. But if you want to trade, like, that's cool. I'm like, oh, yeah. Then I'm like, yeah. I have many stories of that. So it could be something as simple as that, right? Like, you're using your intelligence for your own personal gain. Maybe something small, maybe it is something big. You, between you and the Lord, you guys know. Number two, how has God uniquely equipped me in order to bring good to this world? How has God given you your own personal passions, gifts, whatever? Are you super artistic? Are you super compassionate? Are you super whatever? How did God make you in order to bring good to this world? And then number three, what are specific ways I could spend myself for the sake of others today? because, well, let's say Tuesday. Because today we're at the retreat, tomorrow we're at the retreat. But what really matters is when we're back home in our own kind of routine schedule, that's where the rubber meets the road. And that's where you want to make those commitments that 16 years down the road, you can tell high schoolers who are in like third grade right now, like, yeah, I took God at his word and I clinged and held on to his promises and he was faithful. And you can say, I walked away from that DTC 2019 and I made these commitments and I said no to bringing harm and I said yes to bringing good, and God shaped me and God's eternal fruit from it was so worth it. That's my prayer for you guys. That's my prayer for me. I want to think of ways, how can I start bringing good today as well? Because each and every one of us are going to keep growing. We're going to keep, God's going to keep like circumcising our hearts, making us more like him, making us love him more until we meet him face to face and we see the eternal fruit that by his grace we were able to do. All right, let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of having your word in our language, Lord, and the gift to have it out in front of us, Lord. I thank you for the powerful way that you supernaturally speak to every single one of us, Lord. I just pray that you will open our eyes to the way that you have made us to bring good, God. I just pray for hearts that are strong enough to trust you, God, that are strong enough to walk with you, Lord. And I just pray that you will make us women who follow you for the rest of our lives, God, and who can turn back and see it was all worth it to trust you, to make those hard decisions, and to walk hand in hand with you. I just thank you for your love for us, God. I thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.